Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, Control Freak. Are you struggling with letting go? Do you feel like you're the only one who can handle everything? We're going to help you unwind and get the help you need. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about control freaks. You know, the fact is, some of us are born to be control freaks, while some of us have control freakdom thrust upon us.
Oh, I want to talk about that, yes. But you're absolutely right. It comes in at least two different kinds of packages, some with different wrappings.
Well, you know, so the first type is the person who's just seems to be naturally hyper-responsible and maybe even enjoys doing everything. There are issues with that, of course, but that is one type of control freak. Then there's the other person who ends up doing everything because nobody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the fear that if you don't do it, it ain't gonna get done.
Fear or maybe actual knowledge.
That's
you're just
right.
Like, no, that's my life. If you're feeling that way, you know, we're here for that.
So, you know, whether you are a born control freak or have had control freakdom thrust upon you, we are here for you today at 877-573-7825. Tell us, do you tend to feel like everything seems to always be left up to you? Do you have a hard time trusting that others will do their part or do a good job, either because of your fears or actual personal experience with that? Maybe you're tired of having to handle everything, but you're afraid that if you let it go, that problem, that issue, that thing that needs to be done won't get done. Let us help you lay down the burden and get the help you need. The number to call, 877-573-7825.
Well, I'm going to add in one more. If you're the victim of a control freak,
if
you're on the receiving end of somebody being a control freak, especially if it was a parent in your life who was such a control freak that you are, even in your adult years, still trying to work that all out, what that did to you, how that affects you, it can hit so many ways. If you're a spouse of a control freak, it can be kind of painful and leave you not knowing who you are or how to handle your life. If control freakdom affects you in any way, shape, or form, because you're on the receiving end, or you're doing it for whatever the reason, let's find the grace in this. Let's find where the gifts are and get rid of the garbage of it. Let's help you find where God is in the middle of it and how you can walk in His path instead of just trying to control the universe, because guess what? You're not God, or having other people control you. We're here for you today on More to Life.
877-573-7825.
Because every day here on More to Life, we look at how the theology of the body affects the lens, or gives us a lens on how to look at our life so that we can live the most grace-filled life possible. And today it reminds us of the importance of self-donation. That's using our gifts and talents to work generously for the good of others. The theology of the body also reminds us, though, that for a relationship to be healthy, it must be mutually self-donative. That is, both people in the relationship have to be equally committed to giving all they have to work for each other's good.
You know, even Jesus models this, right? He offers all of himself to us on the cross. He doesn't hold anything back. But he doesn't force himself on us. He, for us to actually benefit from Christ's free and total gift of self, we have to respond by giving ourselves freely and totally back to him. He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming into heaven against our will. He isn't a control freak in that way, right? He stands at the door and knocks, but we have to do our part to open the door and let him in. And in that sense, it is that partnership, that collaboration between Christ and our good efforts that make the kingdom of God possible. And that's our model. In fact, I would add two other things to that. You know, first of all, you know, if you tend to be that person who is in that controlling place, again, either because you like to be or because it's been thrust on you and you don't feel like you have any other choice, we often justify that position of hyper-responsibility by saying, well, you know, God has given me these gifts and it's my job to serve others and I want to be a good servant to others, and being a disciple means doing that, and there you go. So I'm kind of stuck. Well, St. Bonaventure actually had a really good insight on this. He was talking about the Trinity, but of course all of us are made in the image and likeness of God, and our relationships should reflect the relationship that the Trinity has, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is kind of one of the prime points of the theology of the body. And St. Bonaventure said that the Trinity is like a water wheel with three buckets. And each bucket is constantly emptying itself out fully, but it's never running dry because it's always being filled up by the other two buckets at the same time. And in that same way, human relationships are supposed to be mutually self-giving, where we're always giving ourselves everything that we have to others, but everyone is all in that relationship is also giving all of themselves back to us, so we can be constantly giving of ourselves but never worrying about running dry because the other people in the relationship are being as generous to us in turn. Now, of course, in a broken world, it doesn't work exactly that way, but it should work that way more often than not. And that is the kind of relationship that we as Christians have a right to expect to participate in and to work toward. You know, it's not our job to kind of be in that codependent place where we're always dumping ourselves out to serve others and never receiving in return. That's actually not healthy or holy. For the other, for folks, you know, Lisa, you were talking about people on the other side of that control freak equation. If you, you know, were the child of a control freak, or you're the spouse of a control freak, and how diminishing that feels. You know, that when we use our gifts and talents to actually oppress other people, that's an abuse of the priestly mission of our baptism. Okay, and again, In baptism, we're given that mission of prophet, priest, and royal, where we serve others, we love with Christ's love, we use our gifts to be a blessing to others. But when we say, get out of my way, let me do this, you know, or you're not doing it right, you know, what we're doing is we're taking our gifts and using those things to puff ourselves up and diminish the people around us instead of actually serving the people around us. And that is really an abuse of that threefold mission of prophet, priest, and royal. And so in either case, right, we have a right to sort of stand up for what these relationships should look like, what God calls them to look like. That, again, that St. Bonaventure model of that water wheel with the three buckets that are always emptying themselves out fully but never running dry because the other buckets are filling them up. That's what our relationships should look like. And,
well, and I want to add, you know, because you're bringing, you know, this wonderful image of how our Lord was so self-donative to us, but also, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he pours out his heart to the Father, and he's, you know, he's sweating blood. The sacrifice he's about to make is very difficult, but two things happen there. One, he makes an active choice to do it. He's not abused into it. He's not forced into it by some, you know, eternal contract. he's there and he says, I'd rather this pass from me. But if it's your will, Father, I will do it. Your will be done. He makes an active choice. And then Scripture tells us angels are sent to minister to him. You know, the whole Trinity shows up with love, with sending the angels, with a way to fill up that bucket for Jesus so that he can actively pursue what he's called to do. He's not left all by himself.
Right.
And that is, we often think that he's just in such a state of desolation because we look at the garden, we look at the cross, we don't see what's in between. The fact that he is sent ministering angels, the fact that he is sent Simon of Cyrene and Veronica along the way and his mother is there, he has sent consolations. We are not meant to do this all by ourselves. And when we get locked down in a system where we say we need to control this, we're pushing the grace of God away. We're saying, you know, I'm going to do this and I don't need you, God. Even if we're saying we do, we're not actively living that.
Well, and what you're pointing to is the fact that very often underneath that tendency to being a control freak is that sin of pride. And sometimes it's acknowledged, sometimes it's not. But pride is really the sin, not so much of thinking that I'm, you know, I'm all that, but it comes from thinking that it's all up to me and me alone, that I can do this or I have to do this, and I don't need help or shouldn't ask for help, that it's all up to me. That is really what pride is.
And we don't recognize it as pride. We think it's humility because we're saying, I'm not going to burden you, Lord, with me. I'm not worth it.
Or I'm not going to burden
handle
them
this.
With the requesting it. Or
it Satan twists that pride and says, oh no, look how humble you are. But it's a twisting because any time we're saying, Lord, I can do this by myself, it's pushing God away.
Whether we're saying we don't need God or we don't need others, it's still that same thing.
But the flip side of that, as we were talking about, Greg, are people who are controlling in our lives, and then we're setting ourselves up. Those people are setting themselves up as idols. You know, do it my way. You don't have to seek God. You don't have to rely on God. You don't have to consult God. If you just do it my way, you'll be pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. The whole thing gets really messy, and Satan loves a big fat emotional, spiritual mess, doesn't he? Because it keeps us away from God's grace. Let's get you in contact with God's grace today. Help you to change these scenarios in your life. Help you find freedom and God's love and consolation in your life. Give us a call on More to Life today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
The name of the show is Control Freak, and whether you feel like you have to do everything because it's always left to you, whether you like to do everything just because you do, or you're on the receiving end of somebody you care about who is a control freak and you're feeling a little oppressed by it and not sure how to respond, we're here for you today at 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you, and we thank you for giving us the gifts you have provided for us. We thank you for giving us so many ways to be a blessing to others and to serve others with the gifts you've given us. But Lord, sometimes it's hard to know how to use those gifts in ways that are actually affirming of our own life and of our relationships. Help us to remember that your servant, Pope St. John Paul the Great, reminded us in his Theology of the Body that there are two ways to be generous, one by serving, but the other by also being served and allowing others to minister to us. And when we open ourselves up to both sides of that equation, help us to remember that we are creating relationships that look like the Trinity, in whose image we are made. Help us, Lord, to take all of our relationships and work that they would be mutually self-donative relationships, relationships where we all work together to support each other, encourage each other, bless each other, and build each other up for the good of your kingdom and for your greater glory. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Control Freak, and whether you tend to be a control freak, because you're born to it or because it's just thrust on you, or you're on the receiving end of somebody who is a control freak, we are here to help. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Colton, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hey, Colton, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so my father was a control freak. Just growing up, you know, very controlling. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder how much that affected me. I don't live with him anymore, but I just wonder how much it affected me. And I don't even know if this is connected or not, but I do struggle with scrupulosity at times, and I wonder mm-hmm. if that was from his controlling aspects or mine, or even how that may play into things now.
Yeah, and the short answer is yes.
It's very insightful of you to pick up on that, especially I think a lot of us who have parents who are controlling have a tendency to lean toward being controlling or even scrupulous, but especially if it's our father, because that person images God in our, even in our subconscious mind. So easy.
Well, even the catechism talks about how parents' first job is to image God to their children so that their children can have a healthy, ideally, relationship with God. And, you know, when we as parents are too controlling or heavy-handed, we end up distorting that image of God in our children's eyes. And Colton, I guess that's kind of what you're speaking to. You know, how that scrupulosity ties into that, you know, the controlling upbringing that you had, is that it gives you that feeling that if you don't cross all your T's and dot all your I's just right, God the Father is going to be displeased with you, or that you have to jump through certain hoops to make God the Father love you. And that is not at all what God wants for you. And I'm sorry that you're struggling with that wound, but I want to encourage you. You know, clearly the Holy Spirit's working in you to help you begin to see that already. And, you know, the way I like to describe this is certainly, you know, God recognizes that we are broken, that we struggle, that we have, you know, the way we disappoint ourselves and him and others all the time. He sees that. He's not an idiot. He's not blind to our faults. But the way to look at it, I think, that it helps us to escape that scrupulosity, and I work with my clients who struggle with this issue in this way, is to stop seeing sin or our brokenness as breaking a law or committing some crime, but to see it as a sickness, right? To see it. So God forbid, if you had cancer, you wouldn't feel guilty about that. You wouldn't say, what's wrong with me that I have cancer? Oh, you know, I'm such a terrible person that I got cancer. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? You would never say that. You would go to the doctor. And I mean, you'd be worried, but you'd go to the doctor and you'd say, please help me. I need the treatment for this cancer that I have, right? And you would participate actively in that treatment. You'd be aware of the disease that you had, but you would be grateful that the doctor was attending to you. And if you had a good doctor, that doctor would be caring and would encourage you through the process and help you to heal. Well, that's the same thing. We have to go to the divine physician. We bring our brokenness and our sinfulness and our weaknesses to the divine physician. It's not God as judge, jury, and executioner. It's God as divine physician who wants to love us and heal us. And we participate in the sacraments not to prove ourselves worthy of the judge's, you know, lighter sentence. We go to the sacraments to receive the treatment that the divine physician wants to give us for our brokenness and our sinfulness. And we don't beat ourselves up for those things. We praise God for making those treatments available to us so that we can be whole and healed and healthy people in God's eyes. And so what I'd like you to do, Colton, is I want you every day to start writing down a gratitude journal, where in it you write down two things. One, you write down the little blessings that happened in the day. Nothing happens by accident. No good thing happens by accident, right? If something good happened, it's because God made it happen, and he wanted to give you a little hug and say, Colton, I love you, and I did this to show you that I love you. Then I want you to also write down the little ways that God worked in you and with you and through you to bless other people, and I want you to praise him for that. Lord, thank you for using me as an instrument to be a blessing to this person. Even if it was just, you know, you smiled at them and they smiled back, or you held a door for them and they thanked you. How were you a blessing to others? Write those things down and praise God for it. The more you root yourself in the experience of God's love and the ways that he's reaching out to show you that he loves you every day, and the more you connect yourself with the ways that God is using you to be a blessing to others, the more you're going to be able to let go of this scrupulosity. Now, if you find that it sticks with you, there are resources to support you. I'd encourage you to check out my book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. That's a book specifically addressing this kind of guilt that we all experience sometimes. Again, that's Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. And secondly, if you need more support, we do a lot of this kind of work through the through our telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com to support folks in overcoming scrupulosity. But Colton, I think that you're well on the way to recovering from this with this realization that you've had and the suggestions we've made on the show today. I hope that you'll be able to take them and run with them, and we'll add you to our Mortal Life prayer list. With that, we have to go to break. When we come back, we are talking more about the tendency to either be a control freak or suffer under the thumb of a control freak. We are here for you either way at 877-573-7825. When we come back, Damon Owens from joyfuleverafter.org is going to be talking to us about how the theology of the body can help us beat that tendency to be a control freak. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when Mortal Life continues after the break.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
As Catholics, we are called to protect life at every stage, but our culture continues to impose threats against the sanctity of life, making the pro-life cause the preeminent social issue of our time. But there is hope. The Christ Medicus Foundation and CMF Turo have partnered with one of the country's leading healthshare ministries to provide Catholics with a pathway to pro-life, Christ-centered healthcare. Support the culture of life and learn more about CMF Turo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and joining us right now, Damon Owens, the founder of the marriage ministry JoyfulEverAfter.org, is here to talk to us about how the theology of the body can help us get control of those control freak tendencies. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, Greg, Lisa, always good to be with you guys.
So, you know, St. John Paul talks a lot about the importance of self-giving and generosity, but he also talks about some of the pitfalls that are involved in that. Speak to that a little bit and maybe give some thoughts about what we can do in response to it.
Yeah, absolutely, and rightfully so. You know, the gift of self, both in receiving another and making that initiative gift, you guys are so good about that, that is a theme. You know, he does speak about the brokenness, and when he emphasizes something called the freedom of the gift of self, it's a beautiful section in the catechesis, when he speaks about the freedom, the capacity to give and receive ourselves. And I think the heart of the freedom when we get to issues like control is really about an inner movement of the heart and an inner orientation that says, I am ordering this toward what is an authentic good. And sometimes, you know, in the competing goods, it's the gooder good, right? Or the goodest good.
The gooder good, I love
Yeah, right? And that always comes from God, right? So there's a faithfulness element here that allows us to be free in order to know what is the good, but then also take the risk. This is where fear comes in. Take the risk of what freedom always calls, and God himself knows how dangerous and how risky freedom is for his beloved humanity. And we as humans in our relationship, and people that we love dearly, we need to also take a lesson from God about the real risk of freedom, that someone in their own capacity to freely make and receive us and to give themselves is risky, that they will choose something that will bring them harm, that will hurt others. And yet when we keep that faithfulness oriented to God, it allows us to be able to give and receive, not on our own terms, not on our own benefit, but for God's benefit. And it's painful.
So what I guess I'm hearing you say, though, is that what we're trying, you know, a lot of this control freak tendency is that fear that others will make the wrong choice, and it's our job to intervene in their lives and kind of make them do the right thing. But that actually, that actually puts us in the position of doing something that even God will not allow himself to do.
And actually violates the freedom of the gift of self, both in us as the initiator and also in those who are willing to receive. And they need to receive in a way that they know that this is an ultimate gift from God. Absolutely. And fear is always the enemy of love. It's the enemy of freedom. Why God said so often, do not be afraid. John Paul II, be not afraid. Fear causes us to...
So then the alternative to trying to control them is to kind of love them and invite them to a better relationship or healthier choices, not to force their hands, but through our loving witness and through our accompanying them, kind of lead them to a better place.
Exactly. Remember, love is an act of the will. We're not talking about the emotion or the feeling. The will to will the good of another. And our willingness to do that means that we trust that love will convert, love will transform, not our own manipulative power.
Damon, important insights, and not easy to live, but here to do, to help folks walk that path. And I want to thank you for helping us clarify that vision that we're all aiming for in our Christian lives. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to joyfuleverafter.org. More to Life will be back after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This is the fasting that I wish: release those bound unjustly, untie the thongs of the yoke, setting free the oppressed, break every yoke, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. It irks me when people say, well, those are social justice things. What do you mean? It's one of those weasel words. This doesn't have to do with sinful institutional structures. These commandments have to do with personal behavior. So when you begin to say that these are social justice issues, you're really kind of evading Isaiah's point, or God's point through Isaiah, which is, no, I expect you to be setting the oppressed free, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and, you know, That's for you to do. Don't expect your government to do it. Don't even necessarily expect your church to do it. It's expected that you will do it.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
How can we have faith and be transformed by the gospel? What part can we play in recreating the world for God's good plan? Once we understand that the gospel is not merely good news, but explosive, life-changing news, our life will never be the same. In Father John Ricardo's new book, Rescued, The Unexpected and Extraordinary News of the Gospel, he helps us to see the world through the lenses of God, with a clear vision of the plot and the outcome of the story that we're living through. You can get Rescued and Father John's other great books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Today's culture doesn't seem to understand the importance of fathers. And the exponential increase in children born to single mothers illustrates that. But fathers are essential to raising happy, healthy children. Here are 3 things that show us how important dads are. 1. Involved fathering is related to slower rates of problem behaviors in children, reduced teen violence, delinquency, and other problems with the law. 2. Studies show that people who remember having loving, supportive fathers have high life satisfaction and self-esteem. Finally, the most important reason fathers are essential is that when it comes to passing on our faith and values to our kids, fathers are the leaders. When mom and dad are regular churchgoers, 33% of their children will be regular churchgoers, and 41% will at least attend at some time. But if dad doesn't go to church, only 3% of children will become regulars themselves. For more information on having great fathering in your family and a great Catholic family life, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Control Freak. And whether you are the person in that control freak seat because you're good at stuff or because other people just won't do it and leave it to you, or if you're on the receiving end of a relationship with a cold control freak, you know, that, well, your parent is a control freak, your spouse is a control freak, your boss, your brother or sister. It's no fun to be on either side of that equation. Let us help you lay down the burden and find ways to respond gracefully to the control freakdom that you encounter in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Xavier, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Welcome. What can we do for you today?
Well, thank you, and thanks for everything that you do. I am about to be 23 years of a marriage with my wife, and I have two kids, one 20, the other 15, and I'm on many defects. I'm very stubborn, and I don't react good to some of my wife's controlling way of being. So I guess my question is, how do I help her or help myself react differently? Because she is that type of person that not only wants to do everything, because not even her parents or even children or husband do anything as good as she does it, but she kind of asks you in the wrong way or in the wrong attitude. So basically, I sometimes try to keep up with it. I'm gonna try to react or not to react to it, but then it keeps mounting and mounting, and then 1 week later, I just blow off.
Sure.
Because I can't take
it.
Can
you give us an example of how this plays out? What would be something that she would, you know, how would this controlling behavior play out in your relationship with her? Give us a concrete example.
Well, I'll give you a concrete, but it's non-stop in every day with every little details. For example, I get from the from office, and she thinks in her own way that I should take immediately my suit off to feel more comfortable, and she will not stop saying it in a bad way. Hey, why don't you? Why don't you? Why don't you? So sometimes I do just not to listen to her doing telling me again, but sometimes I just go to home and do something else instead, and then she comes, why don't you take the suit away and put it in a more comfortable? And it's not only about telling you, but telling you in a very criticizing way, I guess.
I understand. Okay, so how have you tried to address this with her so far?
Good question. Every now and then I have tried to have the conversation about she cannot be that controlling. She needs to let other people do things, even if things she thinks she could do it better. But now I guess it doesn't develop that well.
How does she take that whenever you've brought it up? Does she get upset? Does she hear it at all?
She goes away. Okay, yeah, I don't care.
She says she doesn't care?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a couple of things that I want you to try on your own. And then if these things don't work, that may indicate some need for some professional help. But let me walk you through some things I want you to do. The controlling nature that she's displaying is really rooted in fear. You know, that's what drives our tendency to be controlling.
Sure.
It's this fear that, you know, if things aren't done just so, then everything's going to kind of fall apart. And, you know, we try to manage the anxiety that we feel inside by controlling everything and everyone around us. Now, she might not seem particularly anxious or fearful, but that's because she's managing it by controlling you. But that's really what's at the root of it all. And you don't you don't want to address it in the moment so much. It's never really effective. That's true of any offense. You know, anytime you're feeling offended, and you certainly can say something at the time, but you're not going to get a lot of traction, is what I'm trying to say. There's nothing wrong with bringing up an offense at the time that the offense is occurring, but that's rarely the time to actually do any real problem solving. What's better is to kind of come back around to it after the fact, when maybe it's not happening or it's happening at least less, and to say, you know, honey, I really need to talk with you about something here. I love you, and you've got a lot of really great ideas about how things ought to be done, and you have a real servant's heart. I know that's, you know, you're really coming from wanting to take care of us, and that means a lot. But a lot of times, your attempts to be caring or caretaking come off as controlling and soul-crushing. And I want you to use that word. And if it's okay if she's a little hurt by that, because she needs to hear it. And if she says, I don't care, then at that point you say, well, I need you to care. Because what you're trying to do to take care of the people around you is actually going to drive the people away that you love away from you. Because it's suffocating and soul-crushing, and I need you to hear this. As your husband, I love you too much to let you keep doing this, because it's just going to drive everybody that you love away from you. Really. And I need you to look hard at this, and I need you to care about it. All right? And then when it happens, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you that I love you, and I'm going to give you a hug, and I'm going to say, honey, I need you to just relax and back off and let us be. Because I love you too much to let you keep doing this, and you can trust me to be your husband and to be here for you. I love you with all my heart. Take a breath, and let's let this go together. Now, if she does not react well to any of that, then that means that you guys are going to need to seek some professional help for this. And you know, you might say, well, I've lived with this for 23 years. I guess I can probably just slog through another, you know, 30, 40 years. Don't do that. Because loving somebody means working for their good. And this controlling tendency that she has will drive the people that she loves away from her.
And it will drive her farther away from God. Because when a person, and I'm going to say this, especially a woman, has this very controlling, it has to be this way, this, if it's this way, I know I'm okay, kind of vibe going on in her. As soon as things don't go right in terms of what she thinks life should be like, then she gets fractured from God. How could you have done this to me, God? She doesn't have any way to roll with it, to trust God, to see that God might move her in different ways. It's, if it's this way, then God is being good and likes me. If it's not this way, then my relationship with God becomes fractured. So it actually is Satan setting her up for like a major spiritual crisis at some point. But if you can love her through this the way Greg is saying, where you're firm but you're very loving, you're affirming but very firm, that allows her to see that she can be loved as she lets go, as she lets you in, as she lets others in, and then she can let God in more.
I'm hoping that she, even though it will be difficult for her, you won't get a good response to this at first. I just want to prepare you for that. But I also don't want you to think that you're doing the wrong thing if you get a difficult response to this. Because nobody likes to hear this kind of stuff, especially if somebody who's as controlling as you say that your wife is. But if you're gentle, the way I've proposed, and you approach it as charitably as I'm suggesting, you're doing the right thing. I will say, okay, at the extreme end of this, there is something called obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, and I am not suggesting that your wife has this. I couldn't possibly diagnose that over the air. But what that is everybody knows about OCD, which is that kind of the hand washing or scrupulosity.
Or any repetitiveness, yeah.
This is a different thing. It has a similar name, but it's actually a different thing. This is a person who has rules for everything. There's a right way to do everything. It's my way, and if you don't do it my way, there's going to be all kinds of hell to pay. And that obsessive compulsive personality disorder really prevents a person from being able to enjoy life or relationship, to really experience any kind of real intimacy in their lives. It's a terrible thing to have to deal with. So that's why I'm saying, I hope that she will respond to the things that I'm proposing that you do on your own. I'm hopeful that she would be able to hear your loving but firm direction in this. If not, it's really important to get professional help, not just for you or for the marriage, but for her health as well, because this could very well be some form of that obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, which is really very destructive, both to her and to the people in her life. So don't hesitate to move to press this issue, even to the point of getting the help, getting professional help, if she doesn't respond well to the suggestions that I've made here on the show.
Again, we want to reiterate, though, that if she doesn't react well at first, that doesn't mean you automatically say, well, then we need help. One of the things in saying this that she might hear when you say, you know, if you continue down this path, sweetheart, you're pushing people away. Based on how controlling she is, her first reaction may be, you're saying you're going to leave me. That's when you don't back off from what you're saying, but you assure her, honey, I'm not going to leave you, but you being this way is slowly closing my vulnerability and my heart off to you, because I'm afraid that if I share anything vulnerable, you'll need to control it. You won't like it. Other people around you will experience the same thing. I don't want it to lead to us not being able to be honest and loving and vulnerable with each other and eventually people shutting you out. We need to be able to work on this. I love you. And then go on again to reiterate what Greg is saying. It's okay to deal with her fears by repeating what you're saying and reassuring her that you love her, but not just caving in because she's scared or she's alarmed or she's flooded in some way.
Sylvia, thanks so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I believe these suggestions will at least get you started. And if you need more support, it's there for you at CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We are talking about control freaks today. Whether you are the control freak or you're under the thumb of one, we want to help you lighten your burden. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
You know, it's important for all of us to remember that we are not God, that there is a God, and we are not him, that it's not all up to us. And even those situations where we feel like it's all up to us, it's important to bring those things to God and say, Lord, help me to know how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that honors the people in my life by encouraging them to use their gifts in this situation as well, and helps me be the healthiest person I can be. And when we do that, he will teach us how to carry these burdens in a way that does not oppress us at the same time. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights about control freaks when we come back after the break. Stick around.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Catholic Charities enabled 500,000 people last year to reach financial self-sufficiency. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Learn more about how you can maximize your charitable donations with a simple, flexible, and efficient giving tool. Visit ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and our show today is titled Control Freaks, and whether you feel like you might be one, whether you want to or not, or you're under the thumb of one, we want to help you deal gracefully with the various expressions of control freakdom in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anthony, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hi, Anthony. Welcome to More to Life.
Hey, good morning, Greg and Lisa. Great topic. My situation, I would say, is twofold with control. On the one side, I take joy in cooking meals for my family, or I should say did enjoy cooking meals for my family, fixing things in the house, just taking care of everything, but not from the standpoint like I can do it better than everybody. I was just leaned on to do these things, and I enjoy doing it. On the other token, or the other side, as far as a control freak, when my children were a little younger, I would control. They wanted to go in the car with their grandmother. They wanted to go in the car with their uncle driving somewhere. That's where you spoke about this earlier, the fear. Mm-hmm. I had a fear that something would happen if I wasn't driving them somewhere, or their mother wasn't driving them. And to this day, this happened maybe 5-6 years ago. To this day, they do bring this up. About
who's the they? Who's the they that brings it up?
I'm sorry, my two daughters. My two daughters, also their mother-in-law, my wife.
How does it come up, though? Because, it seems like that's old news, right? So how are they bringing it? Why are they bringing it up now?
Me and my wife are separated right now, and there is a civil restraint that we agreed on. She agreed, I agreed. So I was over there this weekend getting some of my personal belongings out of the house, and her mother was there, and my wife was there. And my wife, we were both cordial, talking to each other, and her mother just brought up some topics about the past, about, saying how much I like to control things. And she's definitely right. I agreed with her. I do like to control things. And it was twofold for me. It was from the positive side that I felt like people needed me to cook those meals, to fix things in the house, to, make sure the insurance was paid, and I was the all-around go-to.
There's being responsible, right? And those things are responsible. And so I guess what are you asking then? What are you asking exactly? So you're separated now, and I guess this is a major part of the reason for the separation.
Dr. Greg, there's so many. It's so multifaceted that it would be too. We couldn't go into it at this
point. Okay, so what can we help you with today, then? What is it that you'd like some advice on?
I understand how I am as a person, and I guess being separated right now, I'm looking at, I guess I'm beating myself up for past situations. And it's, I understand the way I am. And I can admit, that I like to control situations. Mm-hmm. But not from the standpoint of I could do it better. I guess I like to be in control, and it comes down to we're not God.
What kind of help have you gotten to try to challenge this part of yourself? What are you doing to try to get a handle on this, on the unhealthy aspects of your controlling nature?
I want to see counseling. That's the number one. I've been doing a lot of praying, to have more insight on how I can change this, how I can approach situations instead of, you know. But I see where I have gone wrong in the past, and moving forward, whether, you know, it just dealing with myself. I want to be a better person.
Well, let me give you some resources here. So you know, I appreciate that. You know, well, first of all, I'm terribly sorry that you're going through this separation. I mean, that's a horrible thing. But I appreciate your willingness to reflect on your circumstances and see what you could do to be better in light of it, and see this real tragedy as a call to growth. And I admire your willingness to look at that in that lens. In terms of changing these kinds of things about ourselves, it comes down to being aware and intentional, because 9 times out of 10, you know, we don't wake up in the morning and say, gee, I think I want to be a control freak today and drive everybody I love away from me, right? I mean, that's none of us do that. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, we find that that's exactly what we've done. And we didn't see it at the time, right? So what I want you to do every day is get a notebook. And I want you at the end of the day, well, actually, to start the day, I want you to start the day by thinking about what are the situations where, based on your recent experience, you might tend to want to be a little more controlling than is probably good for you in the course of the day. What are those things that would come up where you feel like you might be tempted to display an unhealthy degree of responsibility, lapsing into even controlling, right? And I want you to just write those situations down, and right underneath just one sentence about the situation, I want you to write, what is the thing that you think you should do instead? What would be the more loving, more compassionate, more peaceful way to respond to that same situation? And script it out for yourself so that you know ahead of time, you're priming your brain to think differently about it, so that when you get into that situation and you feel that controlling part of you start to rise up, you're able to talk back to that part of yourself and say, look, I know what you're trying to do. Here's a better way to handle it. Don't just ignore it. Don't just try to shut that part down. Acknowledge the good that that part is trying to do. You know, that part is trying to keep people safe, or that part is trying to make sure that the thing gets done well, or that thing, you know, whatever it is that the intention of the controlling part of you is, don't just shove it down. Acknowledge, I appreciate what you're trying to do. Here is a healthier and godlier way to do it. Here is a way to do that without driving the people away that you love away from you. Write it out. Then at the end of the day, I want you to go back over your notebook and look at what you did and kind of, you know, check, was I able to follow through with these things? If so, great. Praise God. Really, I mean that. Praise God for the grace that he gave you to follow through. If not, take a minute to prayerfully reflect on what you could do if you had to do that over again. What would help you fulfill that positive intention behind your controlling nature, but do it in a healthier way, and write that out. Okay, I need to have this resource, or I need to remember this insight, or I need to be able to do this thing instead. The more you do that, the more aware you are making yourself be about this tendency to be controlling, and you are identifying healthy alternative strategies for what to do instead of being controlling. If you just say, wake up in the morning, I'm just going to try not to do that, you're going to fail every time, because you're not aware enough of when it happens and you don't have a plan. And trying to think of a plan on the fly is just, you know, a recipe for disaster. But doing this sort of, almost, I guess, kind of an examine, if you want to use a Catholic term for it, where you're beginning the day and ending the day with reforming this part of you in mind. It's a gentle way to keep yourself on track. And even if you fail 9 times out of 10, you still are keeping that vision in front of you, and you're just baby stepping your way toward a healthier, more compassionate response to these situations for both you and others. I'm going to besides this journaling exercise, I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of my book, Unworried: A Life Without Anxiety, because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of what drives these controlling tendencies is fear that, you know, things won't go well, or that something terrible would happen, you know, or that we'll be judged negatively, you know, by some cosmic judge. Unworried talks about all of that and how to begin to overcome it. And there are tons of exercises in there to help you address this tendency toward being anxious and controlling, you know, that are physical exercises, emotional, spiritual, and relational exercises as well. I think it will be a great help to you. Unworried, a life without anxiety. And if you'd like to learn more about our telecounseling practice, you can learn more about that as well at CatholicCounselors.com. So follow these suggestions I'm making on the air. If you'd like more support, Unworried, a Life Without Anxiety can be a terrific support to you, I think. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com. And while you're there, you can learn more about the Catholic counseling practice that we run through CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for your call. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. And listeners, thank you for walking with us and letting us walk with you during this part of your journey in addressing either your tendency to be a control freak or to have to suffer under the thumb of a control freak in your life. We are here for you. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and then get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.